So let's talk about reaching those around you. And I want to talk about something that I've been playing around with, if I can use that terminology, to do something different in evangelism. Sometimes evangelism, for some reason, it can get dry. Or it can get a little bit, let's just say the word boring. Because we just keep saying the same message. And then we forget that we're talking to a lost human being created in God's image. And then we just get so focused on doing, we forget about a very important aspect of evangelism. And I think it's the relational part of it. And that's really where I want to hit home today when I talk about hospitality as a means to reach those around me. How to use hospitality as a weapon for the gospel. How to use hospitality to share Jesus with those who live around me, those who are around me. When I was in seminary, I had to do a project. And the professor told us that we had to evangelize someone totally different than us. And I was like, okay, I've shared the gospel with English speakers, Spanish speakers, so who's different than me? And he threw out, how about a Muslim? And I was like, wow, I've never shared the gospel with someone who is Muslim. All right. I was in Atlanta. There's a lot of Muslims in Atlanta. So I was like, okay, let's do this. And it so happened that it was Ramadan. And a friend of mine who is a Arabic pastor, I asked him about, do you have anybody who's lost that you've been talking to that maybe I can, you know, tell them about this project and see if I can share the gospel with them. And he said, yes, I have a good one for you. I have been sharing the gospel with him for 5 years, and I haven't been able to even crack anything with him. And I was like, great, I want a challenge. Give me that one. So he set it up. We got together. And so I don't know if you know this or not, but a devout Muslim, they have to, during Ramadan, they have to invite a neighbor. It's called iftar. So they have to, part of their observing Ramadan, they have to bring a stranger, a neighbor, to their house and tell them about what it's like to be a Muslim. So it just so happened providentially that when we called, he said, oh, I need to invite you to my house because I need to practice iftar. And I was like, great. I want to get an A on my seminary. So yes, let's do this. So we set it up. We got together. And it was a great time because we ate together. The food was very familiar. And there was a lot of stuff that they were eating that I ate back home. And it was a culture shock for me in the sense that, like, wow, we have a lot in common. I didn't even realize. So we're talking. And so it came to the moment where he had to share his faith. And I listened, and he told me about what it means to be Muslim and how one can become a Muslim. And I was like, you know, getting my sword sharpened while he's speaking. And I went all in. And, of course, I'm a seminary student, so I was taking the class on biblical theology. And I was like, I'm going to put biblical theology with gospel presentation, and I'm going to show him what the Bible says about Jesus. And I went all in. I spent about an hour and a half sharing the gospel with him, and he didn't get saved. But the interesting thing that I came out of that after our time together was that he was so open to have somebody, stranger, never met me, never even talked to me, to come into his house to share his faith with me. And that struck me, that moment struck me, that he was so open to that. And when I was researching Islam, one of the things that I realized was that hospitality is a virtue that's ingrained in their ethical system. In other words, to have a high ethic, you have to practice hospitality. But in Christianity, it's very different. Hospitality is a gift of grace and a means for the gospel. And that's what I want to look at today. In other words, Christians ought to practice hospitality because of the grace that God has showered in our lives. Now, it's very common, like I to do different types of evangelistic events, door-to-door, going out in public speaking, public sharing the gospel, doing different things to try to events to bring people to our church. There's a lot of ways that we've explored in the last, I want to say, 200 years of Baptist life, over a little over 200 years of Baptist life. We've tried a lot of things to reach communities. But one that I haven't seen that we've been triggering and pushing is hospitality. And I want to look at, first of all, what does the Bible say about hospitality? And secondly, I want to see how can we connect hospitality with evangelism? And then finally, I'm going to give you all some work to do, and we're going to try to think a little bit more about how to foster hospitality as a means for an evangelism, and then I'll close with a plan to implement hospitality as evangelism. Now, I am a Baptist preacher, and I told you 4 points, so I'm violating my Baptistic roots, but I will try to make that up as we go along. So, what does the Bible say about hospitality? Does the Bible even speak about hospitality? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. All throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see hospitality as a big deal. If we go to Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, we read in these verses that it's a Christian duty to do hospitality. Now, I'm going to go real quickly talking about Romans from Romans chapter 8, or chapter 1 to chapter 11. We're basically getting a theology of the gospel. Now, that's a very quick look at the first 11 chapters of Romans, but it is basically what is the gospel. Paul kind of lays out what the gospel is throughout these 11 chapters. And then from 12 to 16, he's showing us how to apply the gospel in everyday life. And in verse 10 through 13 of chapter 12 of Romans, Paul gives us some of the dynamics of how the gospel looks like in a church setting. He goes into love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showering honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. These are all things that we should do. And then he goes in verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And this is all in the context of doing gospel ministry. This is a New Testament. We see that there's a practice of hospitality is something from even before the New Testament. If we go to the Old Testament, we see pictures of hospitality throughout the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, the apostle says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, the writer of Hebrews is referring to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, also to Lot in Genesis chapter 19, Manoah in Judges chapter 13, that they showed hospitality to angels. So we see that in the Old Testament, this was a normal practice. This is a practice still in the Middle East today that is a high view of ethics. And it's a practice that is valued throughout the Middle East. According to the New Dictionary of Biblical Enlightenment, it says that in the Middle East, it has always been considered a sacred duty to welcome, feed, house, and protect every traveler who stops in front of the tent or home. The stranger is treated as a guest, and those who in this way have eaten together are bound by the strongest bonds of friendship, confirmed by mutual present and past from father to son. So in the text of Hebrews that I mentioned earlier, it's evident that one way to show brotherly love one to another is doing hospitality. Now, there's a bigger theological view of hospitality, and that is God is a God who is hospitable to us. The law had provisions for foreigners who were among Israel. And we see God as a hospitable God in Deuteronomy 10:17. Sorry, my watch is speaking to me. In Deuteronomy 10:17, it says that, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe." So here we have a very clear view that there is only one God. And then in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 10, he says, "He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner," or the stranger, "giving him food and clothing." And in the next verse, we get this commandment. You might be familiar with this one. "Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt." In Genesis chapter 2, God made Eden a home for Adam and Eve. They sinned and were expelled from the garden, and likewise, every human being is excluded as well and is a stranger from the garden. God is now operating to reconcile peoples and people from every nation to himself, where he will make a home where they can be with him forever. In the New Testament, Jesus is the model of hospitality. In an eschatological manner, Jesus comforts the hearts of the apostles with these words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So we can conclude that God is a hospitable God, and he brings strangers, sinners, and through Jesus Christ, he brings them home to himself. He not only takes sinners, but he transforms them to sons and daughters. So the essence of hospitality is God himself. I mean, how do we learn to be hospitable? We learn because God has been hospitable to us. And if we think about it, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we're all here only because of his mercy and his grace. So because God is hospitable, the people of Israel must also imitate God in being hospitable to strangers. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 through 34, it says, "When a stranger is with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Did you get that? Did you feel the weight of that? People of Israel were strangers in the land of Egypt. God gives them a home, gives them a land, and he says, "Those who come by, any stranger that comes by, you welcome them as if they're one of your own." So let me give a parenthesis if I could. Thank you for being hospitable to us. Thank you for giving us a home. Thank you for treating us as one of your own. Close parenthesis. Let's go back to this. So the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, which is the second greatest commandment according to Jesus Christ, comes directly from being hospitable. It was and is one of the greatest values of the first century. In the New Testament, in the church, when the church first was born, they didn't have beautiful buildings like here, like we have today. They didn't have great gatherings. What did they have? Where did the first century church meet? They met in homes. They opened their homes to others. And that seemed to be the pattern. According to Acts 21:16, we see that the homes of the believers were where the church was meeting, worshiping, loving each other, having koinonia, and spreading the gospel to others. So as we can see, being hospitable was God's plan from the beginning of the church, was God's plan from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, and has always been something that God has put as a priority for his people. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, Peter admonishes the local believers to be hospitable without murmuring. Matter of fact, a pastor, if he wants to be qualified to be a pastor, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he must be hospitable. So again, we can't escape the reality that the Bible, all throughout, from Genesis even up to Revelation, because Revelation finishes with heaven here on earth, the new heavens and the new earth, and who dwells among us? Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus prepares the world, the new heaven and the new earth, for the believers, for those who are his people. So again, from beginning to end, God has proven to be a hospitable God. God demands his people to be hospitable. Therefore, we must be hospitable to strangers, to sinners, to others. So what does it mean to be hospitable? What does that mean, hospitality? What does that word actually mean? Well, it means, in its essence, to be generous towards foreigners. The word in the Greek has a combination of two words. Its first word is philos, which is friendly love or brotherly love. The second one is xenos, which is foreigner, someone who is from another place. So if we put the two words together, we get that we are to be friendly, brotherly to those who are foreigners. And the strength of the word is a loving acceptance and special care for strangers. It's where we derive the word hospital from. The means of hospital is to care for those who are hurting. Well, beloved, the church, our homes, should be a hospital for sinners. Should be a place where the medical, the doctor, who the excellent and great doctor, Jesus Christ, is present to heal sinners. Hospitality is caring and loving for strangers as if they were your friends. We should open our homes to the foreigner, the stranger, so they can see with their eyes the gospel of Jesus Christ, so we can share with our mouths the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, our home should not be a museum of collections that we have. Our home should be, as one writer put it, the key to unlocking the gospel, to show people what it means to be a Christian, to show the world our love, our care. And it's really a fulfillment of the second greatest commandment that our Lord Jesus Christ gave, to love others as we love ourselves. So how do we connect hospitality with evangelism? How do we put those two together? Well, the Bible says that believers are to be light, and that light must shine among men so that they can see our good works, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And I think for a long time as believers, I'm not talking about this church, I think as a whole, and I'll talk about the U.S. as a whole, I think we put our light under a basket for too long. And it's time to throw out the basket and start showing the light of Jesus Christ. And I think one way to do that, there's many ways, but one way that we're focusing on today is through hospitality. It's to be transparent. It's to live your Christian life before unbelievers in your own home. For a long time, the light of the gospel has been hidden, and I think it's time again that we start letting that light shine once again. Now, the world learns about God through Christians. So here's something, whether we like it or not, this is something that we all have to come face to face with. Every believer is a theologian who is sharing something about God. Now, we might be doing it wrong, or we might be doing it right, but whatever we're saying, whether we're with our mouths or with our lives, we're saying something about God in our lives. Now, that probably means that we probably need to repent of sins, and we need to turn to God, who is merciful and good, who forgives sins, who showers us with grace, and gives us all the resources we need to live according to the gospel. We might need to do that if we want to open our homes so that unbelievers can see us. But that's not a bad thing. That's actually a really good thing that we must do. So, our homes are to be a place where sinners can come in, see the gospel, and we can present it in a way that is right according to scriptures. Sadly, Christians in general, we lock ourselves up in our homes. Matter of fact, our homes, what are some words that we use for our homes? A refuge, a place to get away from the world. After we leave work, we want to run to our home so we can sit on our comfortable couch so we can watch a good movie. Or just binge Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever other platform you have to watch movies. That's usually how our home looks like. It's our collection of things that we bought. It's a museum so we can look at our accomplishments and say, well done. I've done it. I've made it. A lot of times we don't think that our home can be used as a means to share the gospel with another person by just inviting them to come and sit and have a dinner with us as we pray, as we read scripture, and we share with them what God has done in our lives. That's simple, something that simple. Now, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've invited a lot of people to church. You know how many out of those, I don't know, I probably, let's just say 100 in the last few months that I've invited to church. You know how many have come? Now, I've invited people to my home. I've told them, hey, I got some food. You want to come to my house? And probably out of the, let's just say about 30 people that I've invited, maybe one said no. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting dynamic? And I'm sure that you're probably thinking, yeah, that same thing happens to me too. I know very little people who will reject a home-cooked meal. I don't know too many people that would say no to a home-cooked meal. But why not use that for the sake of the gospel? Why not use our home, the comfort of our home, to share Jesus Christ with someone who needs salvation? Sadly, the world sees Christians as what I call the chupacabra. You guys know what that is? That's a fantasy animal that came out of Puerto Rico, unfortunately, that made its way around the world that was eating goats. There was this, for a moment, just goats were being sucked their blood out of it, and they put a name out of it, and chupacabra means goat sucker. And this animal just, nobody saw it, but they saw their animals dead and without blood, and everyone's like, well, no one's seen it, but they know it's there somewhere. Sadly, Christians, we become like the chupacabra, where people have heard of us, but they don't see us. They're not seeing us anywhere. They are seeing Mormons. They are seeing the sects or the false teachers. They're not seeing us. And I think the world needs to see ordinary Christians opening ordinary homes, sharing the ordinary gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think the Christian home should be a place where it should be a mini church, where that light is shining and people know there lives godly people who love Christ. Dustin Willis says the following about hospitality, instead of thinking of our home as a personal refuge, it can be opened as a spiritual hospital for those in pain around us, instead of being an oasis of self-interest. They can be transformed as a weapon for the gospel, a four-wall tool to exercise God's cosmic battle against evil and sin. When we do this, we become the kind of counterculture that manifests God's generosity. So biblical hospitality is evangelical in nature. It's a demonstration of the gospel to a cruel world that promotes isolation. But as people of God, we want to bring unity. We want us together. We want us enjoying life together and enjoying Christ together. And there we fulfill the commandment of Romans 15:7 when it says, therefore, welcome. Or the New King James says, receive. The New American Standard says, accept one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. A simple invitation to the Christian home, to an unbeliever with a meal, has power, beloved. It is powerful. It is very powerful. I was reading the testimony of Rosario Butterfield, a lady who was a lesbian. She was a journalist. She was a professor. Very anti-God. Atheist. And a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor. And yes, Presbyterians can get saved, by the way. But Presbyterian pastor invites her to his home. And after 2 years of just getting to know each other and getting to know his wife and seeing how they lived their Christian life, God started working on her slowly, progressively. God saves her. And now she's a believer who writes books for women, who writes about hospitality. What impacted her has become now what she writes about, what she does in her life. Something that powerful as just sitting together, like we did today, eating a meal. There's a reason why one of the ordinances is based on a meal. It brings unity, brings acceptance, breaks barriers, breaks walls. We can talk about things. We can share. We can love. And I think hospitality has a power, an untapped power that we need to expose. And we need to do it quickly. So, let's get to work. How do we foster hospitality as a means of evangelism? So I got some questions there. Let me explain the questions and give you a few minutes so you can go ahead and get some answers in your group. Talk about it within your group. The first one is, name some ways we can open our homes to lost people we know. Think of some things that we can do to open our home so that lost people can come in and we can find ways to share the gospel. I'll give you some examples, but I won't. So think of some ways, and then afterwards I want to hear from some of you, if we could, about some ways that we can open our homes to lost people. Here's another one. Maybe some of you are single. How can a single person be hospitable? Think of a way that we can do that. What are some of the biggest fears of opening our home to strangers? Question number four, what are some excuses to not be hospitable? What are some of the reasons why we don't do it? Think of some reasons why we're not being hospitable. Think of some reasons why it's inconvenient. And finally, how can the church work together to practice hospitality? I don't think this is a one family thing. I think there's something that the church could do together. Think of some ways we could do that. So go ahead, give you about 5-10 minutes to go ahead and do that, and then we'll close up with some closing remarks. Anybody else? Let me give you one. This is a freebie. Ready? How about have a barbecue, but instead in the backyard, do it in the front yard. And then when people are passing by, you say, hey, you want some? Think of another one. What else? How are the other ways? I like the movie. How about sports? I'm sure there's some OU, OSU fans here. How about you get together without killing each other and love, invite someone, watch a football game, and then when you're in those commercials, shut it off and eating some chips, talk about the gospel. Talk about how an OU and OSU can come together to watch a game. It's only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Celebrate a holiday together. How about birthdays? Instead of inviting just our Christian friends, how about we invite some lost people to a birthday and then just have a time to share the gospel to everyone? So those are just some good ways. There's a lot of other ways, I'm sure, that we can think of. Just even knowing somebody, maybe a coworker, and say, hey, I want to invite you over. I really don't know you. I want to get to know you a little bit better. Can I invite you over to my house? My wife cooks great. Make sure she does, but don't lie about it. say, my wife cooks great. Come over. She's going to make this special meal. And then tell them about what you believe. Just go something that simple. You'd be amazed how that is. It can open so many doors. How about single people? What about them? We usually cast them out as lepers. But can single people be hospitable? Can they also do hospitality? What are some ways that single people can do it? I don't want to give all the answers. Come on. I know you are so much smarter than I am. I'm sure you guys have hundreds of ideas. None? Anybody? Anybody? One person? Two ladies together, two single ladies together, invite another lady over, or they can even go to a restaurant or go to another believer's who has a family to their house and do hospitality together. Those are good. Those are ways. Team up with the church. Do that as a church thing. What are some of the fears?
Violence.
Okay, violence. That can happen. House is not perfect. That's a big one. That is huge. That's probably one of the biggest fears for women. For men, I would assume, we don't know this guy. He might do something in our home. For a lady, it's my house is not clean enough. How clean does a house need to be to share the gospel? And here's the thing that now here's where I want to break something if we could. We don't want to present something we're not. If you have children, children are going to be children. When my grandkids come over to the house, my wife and I say this, like a hurricane just went through our home. My grandson is autistic and he's throwing stuff everywhere and he's running around and I'm enjoying it because I know once he leaves, I'll clean it up. But for now, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to enjoy the time I'm here with him. If you have children and your home is a mess, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just life. And I think unbelievers need to see that Christians, we live life too. We have struggles. We have issues. We have hardship. What other fears? So we have a dirty home or violence. Any other fears? So if that's it, then we're good. Then we should be doing it. Because violence, we don't know. A believer can be violent in our home. We don't know. We just don't know. But to not do it because of an unknown, I don't think is a good enough reason not to do it. So, hey, that's great. You guys aren't you're fearless. That's great. So what are some of the excuses? Now, those are fears. What about excuses? Time, busy. Time. COVID. Sickness. We like our privacy.
All my neighbors are OSU fans.
All my neighbors are OSU fans. That's a good one. It's a lot of prayer, brother. It takes a lot of prayer. Time? How about here? Let me help you with time. How about just do it once a month? Is that possible? maybe just one Saturday in the month. Can we do that? Can we take a Saturday when we invite an unbeliever to our home and maybe bring another member of the church to help to share the gospel with that person? Just once a month. How about that? So that's the time issue. Don't know what to make. I'm not a good cook. How about you invite someone who is a good cook and give them your kitchen and you take care of the gospel part? Here's one that I've heard. Never done it before. Now, here's where, again, we go back to the team effort. I think it's normal and natural for some people to fear to share the gospel. Well, bring somebody who is dynamite sharing the gospel to your home and invite that person and let him or her take control and share the gospel with that person. We have a family in our church, most hospitable family that I've ever met. They have a small house, but they will fill it with people with no problem. They love it. They love having people in their house. And in a given day, there could be about 20 people in their home. But they're fearful of sharing the gospel. So what they've done is they invite two or three of our interns or someone who loves to share the gospel and bring them over, invite them over. And then they give them the platform to go ahead and share the gospel to all the lost people that are in their home. So we have to be creative. We have to think outside of our fears and overcome them. So let me give you some ways. I think I already mentioned, how can the church work together to practice hospitality? I think I just gave an example of how we can do that. It should be spontaneous. It should be something informal. It shouldn't be programmatic. It should be something that I think we do because we love Christ and we want to see these sinners come to Jesus. So let me give you a plan how to do this. Number one, and think of right now, this is for you to write down some things. Do you know someone who's lost? Think of one person right now, right there where you're thinking, right there where you're sitting. Think of one lost person that you know. Somebody who doesn't know Christ. Think of that person right now. Go ahead and write them down. Now, here's the next thing I want you to do. Pray for them. Pray that God will save them. Pray that God will open doors, that when you invite them, that they will say yes. Pray for that person. Pray. I think we all believe that God answers prayers, so we should be praying that God will save this person. For doors to be open, opportunity, softening of the heart for the gospel. Then invite them over for a dinner. Ask them about some things, like, you know, have a conversation with them. Ask them about their job, what they do for fun. Ask them about their greatest fears. And if you're bold enough, ask them, what happens when you die? And then this is what I would do, is pray while you're praying in the meal. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Be transparent. You know, God, forgive me for lusting, for desiring things that aren't mine, for being unfaithful to your word, for not reading the Bible, for hating my brother, things like that. Pray honestly about things while you're there with them. Why should we do that? Well, we're being transparent. We're being real. And we struggle too. That only through God's grace we are where we are. Tell them where you go to church. Tell them what you believe. Tell them, I would really like to tell you what I believe as a Christian. Would you mind letting me do that? What we believe as a church. If they say yes, tell them the gospel. Tell them about what we believe in the gospel. You don't have to go through all our Baptist tenets. You don't have to go through the BFM. Just tell them the gospel. Very simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally, follow up. I know that's always a part that falls in the wayside. Follow up. Invite them again. Keep inviting them. Keep inviting them. Most people don't receive the gospel the first time they hear it. I remember when I was in Alaska, I had a guy tell me the gospel for 3 months every day. And I can't tell you how many other people were sharing the gospel with me before that. Every day he was sharing the gospel with me. Constantly. follow up, invite him again, invite him, even do this, invite him to church and say, I'll pick you up if you want, or I'll meet you outside. I've found that people are afraid to get to the church, or if they get to the church, they might turn around and leave because they're afraid to go in, and they have all kind of fears. Tell them something like, I'll wait for you outside. Just text me when you get there. I'll be right out there, and I'll walk you in, and I'll introduce you to all my friends. So these are some ways that we can practice hospitality. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope that this can help you to engage. Now, I said all this because this week, think of a way that you can practice hospitality. Let's put this in practice. Just imagine if every family here invited one sinner to their home to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would happen? What would start happening in Quail Springs Baptist Church if we started doing that? If we started welcoming sinners to our homes, we welcome them to our church, that's great. How about we welcome them to our home so they can hear the gospel of Jesus one-on-one with us while we enjoy a meal together? What would start happening? What kind of things would start happening in this church? That gets me excited. Like, wow, the potential of just everyone here this week inviting one lost person to their home just to share the gospel. Wow, the impact that they can have in the church and in the community, I think will be great. It all starts with one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, because you are a hospitable God. Because you invite sinners to come. Through Jesus Christ, we can find salvation, a home. And you call us your sons and daughters through your Son. So we thank you, O Lord, for loving us, for welcoming us, for saving us. And Lord, help us to imitate you, to welcome others to our homes and share the precious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Holy Spirit, guide us, direct us, and even bring conviction if necessary to us. We love you and thank you for these privileges. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.